God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
I love the words of the great Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." There's one phrase that keeps running across my mind, "God's truth abideth still." This is Pastor Larry. Thanks for being with us and tuning in to Southwest Radio Church. Now listen to this news item. Illinois public schools must scrap their history lessons entirely until an alternative is developed out of alleged concern that current school history teaching leads to white privilege and a racist society, close quotes. Those are the words of Democrat State Rep. LaShawn Ford. Now here's a basic truth. Historical facts are something you don't like or dislike. You accept them. Yes, as you look at history, there have been many white people who have really advanced civilization. That's not a racist statement. It's just a fact. Get used to it. Where would our world and culture be without the inventions, scientific breakthroughs, and great works of art that have come out of the past and the present? And to be honest, white people have been some of the worst tyrants and murderers the world has ever seen. That's also a fact. Now here's the point. The problem is not, quote, race. The problem is sin. Whatever your skin color, you are a sinner, whether white, black, or whatever, and you need to be redeemed. White people are sinners, and so are people of color. I want to quote Pastor Billy Crone. Now, here's the quote. It's a very important quote. The hard facts are this. If our country is ever going to survive the evil days that lie ahead, we've got to understand that we don't need revival in America. We need revival in the American church. Close quotes. Pastor Billy Crone is our guest today. He has a new book and a 7-DVD set titled The Character of the Church. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Spurgeon. You know, it's always great to be on.
Well, you know, I love your quote, so I'm going to quote another one and ask you about it. You say, a new epidemic is sweeping the nation that is causing untold numbers to completely forget who they are. To whom are you referring?
Well, unfortunately, I'm referring to the church. And, you know, this study, The Character of the Church, is the companion study, if you will, to our other large study that we had called The Character of God. And we kind of did a great, big, giant, detailed study about God. Well, this one's now all on the church. And in the Character of God study, we played with the term that, you know, people are acting like practical atheists. They act like they don't know who God is. And so let's get back to the Bible and discover who He really is and stop making a God of your own making that is not just unbiblical, that would actually be an idol. So this one is now not practical atheism, it's practical amnesia, if you will, and that the church is walking around acting like you don't even know who you are. And we expose this in great detail. You know, just to give you an easy, if you will, acid test, you say, oh, I know who I am as the church. We don't even understand what the name church is. The word church is not a building, but we act like it. You know, if somebody were to ask you, hey, where are you going to go on Sunday? Well, I'm going to church. No, you aren't, because the church is not a building. It's not a place you go. It's us, the people of God. The word church is ekklesia in the Greek, and it means a group of called out ones. And it's speaking of anybody who gets saved in Jesus Christ, locally or globally, that we're all a part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And the church isn't something we do. Church is who we are. And it may sound like semantics, Dr. Spargimino, but what I've learned in 20-some years of being a pastor now is it really reflects and spills downhill in a negative way. If you can't even get that right, of who we are as the church, that we are a body of believers here to emulate, we're called out of this wicked world system to emulate Jesus Christ in a Christless culture, you're going to get all kinds of things wrong. And that certainly seems to be what's going on with the statistics. Let me just share a couple creepy ones with you. 80% of people who call themselves Christians say that the Bible teaches that God helps those who help themselves. That's nowhere in the Bible, folks. Okay, 12% actually say that the name of Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. 49% says that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. No, it doesn't. Read the Bible. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Satan's the author of evil. Then another one say that 56% of so-called Christians today in America say that the Bible proclaims the single most important task in life is to take care of your family. Now, taking care of your family is important, and you should be doing that. But the number one thing you're supposed to be doing is loving God above everything. I mean, and you would think, man, come on, that's just basic Christianity. How are you getting that wrong? 65% of professing Christians, as alarming as this is, say that Satan is not a literal being. He's just a symbol of evil. 30% say that when Jesus lived on earth, he committed sins just like everybody else. Over half of professing Christians today in America say the Bible has errors in it, and this is horrible. 25% say that it doesn't matter what faith you follow because all paths lead to heaven. Excuse me? How do you get around John 14:6? Jesus said it. I didn't. He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to Father except by him. And then you're going like, where's this coming from? Well, watch this. 49% of pastors in the United States of America right now, quote, no longer have a biblical worldview. So a lot of this baloney's come from the pulpit, and it spills downhill. Watch this. 93% of Christians no longer have a biblical worldview. Now, I'm not saying that they're not all saved, but those are very alarming, Dr. Spargimino. And you're thinking, well, how could this be? This is just basic Christianity. How could you say the Bible's got errors in it? How could you say that Satan doesn't exist? How could you say that things that are supposed to be in the Scripture, they're not even close? How could you say that Jesus had sin? I mean, whoa, this is crazy. Everybody knows basic Christianity knows that's not true. Well, listen, if you can't even get it right that the church is the body of Jesus Christ, people, instead of a building, it's who we are, our identity, not a place we go. I'm telling you, it's time to shore up loose ends, and you need to get re-educated biblically, and not just who God is, but who we are as the church. And I love how you opened the program, Dr. Spargimino. This is what our country is waiting for. Right, for the church to be the salt, the light. We should be able to be out there emulating Jesus Christ, that especially during what's going on right now in our country with all kinds of division and hatred and strife and this virus stuff going on and people are freaking out and afraid. Just basic Christianity, the church being the church, the body of Christ, by his Spirit, we're out there living our lives, which is a natural antidote to every one of those things. Everybody's so joyless. Well, we walk in with joy from the Spirit of God. Everybody's so hopeless. Well, we walk in with hope because our hope is in Jesus Christ, the ultimate security, and things of that nature. So just getting the church right is not just good for us. It gets us back to being that positive witness that a world so desperately needs at this point.
Amen to that. And the church is to be, well, the Scripture says it is the pillar and ground of the truth. And I think one of the main problems today is that there's so little truth sounding forth from the pulpits.
Yeah, well, and again, man, we've dealt with this certainly in this study, and we also dealt with it in a lot of our other studies, but I think one of the reasons why you're seeing such aberrant behavior in the church, and dare I say aberrant beliefs like I just mentioned, it's like, how could you be a Christian and think that Jesus sinned or that there's more than one way to heaven? Well, maybe because you're really not a part of the church. And I say that because the Bible's actually very replete that there's indicators. Now, we're not saved by our works. The Bible's very clear about that. Praise God for that. Because if our salvation, and make it us to be a part of the body of Christ, i.e. the church, if our salvation was dependent upon our works, let's be honest with our behavior, myself included, we'd all go straight to hell. So salvation better be 100%, or this whole thing's a pipe dream. Well, the good news is it is. And Paul's very clear about that in Ephesians. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, but keep reading. He goes on and says that God saves us to do these good things in advance for us to do. So we're not saved by works, but when you are a true born-again Christian indwelt with the Spirit of God, who the Scripture says your deposit guaranteeing your salvation, so you're saved, praise God. It's guaranteed. Scripture even says it's kept in heaven for you. Who's going to go up in heaven and take it away? Nobody. It's secure. But by nature of being dwelt with the Holy Spirit, you cannot stay the same. Now, people grow at different rates. I get that. You know, some people are alive longer and can bear more fruit than others. I get that. But there's a misnomer in the church that just because you say you're a Christian somehow makes you a Christian. That's not true. And I think it plays out in people's behavior, right? And the Scripture talks about that. There are people that say, well, I believe in God, and somehow that makes them a Christian? Really? You better read James chapter 2. James chapter 2 says, even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. Now, is that so just believing in God somehow makes you a Christian? No, right? And Jesus talked about the people who on Judgment Day will say, Lord, Lord, I mean, didn't we do this? And they appeal to works. They were trusting in works, religious works. And they said, what are we doing? What are we doing in hell? How come we're here at Judgment Day? And they go, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? And all those things can be counterfeited, right? But they appealed to works. And what did Jesus say? Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you once, and then you lost your salvation, because you can't. These people were in the midst, and they were fake the whole time. In fact, you want to have the greatest example of who was the fake, the biggest fake of all, right, in the midst of the church, if you will? Judas. Where was he? He was right there in the mix, okay? And yet, you know, a lot of people say that obviously he wasn't saved. In fact, he was even indwelt by Satan. And then 1 John, let me give you one more example. 1 John says that the reason why they went out from us is because they didn't belong to us. If they had belonged to us, they would have remained to us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And that's actually 1 John 2:18-19, I believe. And so he tells us that if somebody sits there and they profess to be a Christian, and then all of a sudden a year later, who knows long later, they say, that's it, I quit, I'm disgruntled, or I become an atheist, or I decide to join a cult or get into New Age or whatever, you didn't lose your salvation. You can't. You were fake the whole time. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians, when he's going through this litmus of all these bad, horrible things that he had to deal with, and you know, about being shipwrecked and beaten with rods and all this stuff and danger of bandits and things. And he even says this. He was not just in danger of the bandits and the things in the world and going through all kinds of privations. It says there he was also in danger of false brothers. Now, what's a false brother? Pseudos adelphos, pseudo, fake, phony brother. Paul was being harangued by people who claimed to be Christians, but they weren't. And so I said all that to get to this. I really think, Dr. Spargimino, that my personal opinion, and 20-plus years now being a pastor, is the reason why the American church has those statistics I shared, the reason why the American church, that somebody could claim to be a Christian and say that there's more than one way to heaven, is because the American church is flooded with people who are not really a part of the church. They go to a church service, but going to a church service does not make you a Christian any more than sitting in a barn makes you a cow. You got to be born again. They don't have the Spirit of God, and the Scripture's replete with that. And one of the reasons why we went through this study was not only to encourage the real church to get back to the real identity that God calls us to be this wonderful antidote to what's going on in our world today, but it's also to expose those who would say, oh, they're right there sitting with you in the pew, but they would say they're a Christian. But, you know, we even joke about how common this is, right? You go to church services one day a week and send up a storm six days. You know, what? You know, and so this study gets you back to that biblical paradigm, okay, of if you're going to claim to be a Christian, we're not saved by our works, but something's got to change. You cannot be dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and nothing changes in your attitude towards sin or anything. You have no desire to serve Christ. You don't even want to get in the Bible. You don't sing. You don't worship. You're nasty to everybody you go around. When somebody points out your sin in love, you take it out on them. They're the bad guy. You have no hope. You have no joy. You don't love people. You're not full of peace. On and on it goes. This study exposes that. And if anything, again, that's why I say we don't need revival in America. We need revival in the American church. And I could tell you stories, Dr. Spargimino, of church boards and things that I've sat on as a pastor in the past. And under my breath, all kidding aside, over time, as you see what these coming out of these people's mouth, and I'm going, are these people even saved? No, I'm serious. If I'll give you one extreme example, and this really did happen. I won't tell you which church I pastored at, but and I didn't find this out until my last year there, my tenure there. One of the church board members, you know, some of them were thinking that you were saved by works, that you had to be baptized to be saved. And it's like, whoa, if you're really trusting that, you're not saved because we're not saved by our works. You should be baptized, but that's not a qualification for salvation. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't have time to get baptized. But anyway, this other person pipes up, and they actually said this, and they in front of the church board meeting, you know what, I just want to let you guys know that I'm really put off by, you know, these Christians attacking these witches. And, you know, my family, we have a history of witches and witchcraft, and I just really don't appreciate these Christians and how they've been treating us on the church board. So, but my point is that part of the reason why this study is, again, it's valuable, and maybe we could talk about this in another interview, is for the Christian. Let's get back to being that positive antidote to all the ills that we're seeing in our society. Jesus Christ is the answer, folks, not some stimulus package, not a vaccine. It's Jesus Christ. But we got to get out there and show them the real Jesus by our behavior as the church.
Well, Pastor Billy, I really appreciate that presentation. And friends, Pastor Billy will be back with us for our next show. We will continue visiting with him. And I want to encourage everyone, if you are not part of a Bible-believing local church, you need to be part of that kind of, well, it's the local church. It's a visible manifestation of the power, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, Pastor Billy, we have so many Christians today, they try to do it the Lone Ranger type, but the church is God's organization on the earth, and we ought to be grateful. And if you are a church member, be sure to pray for your pastor, pray for the elders, pray for the deacons, pray for the Sunday school teachers, the nursery workers, because we know that there is government overreach today trying to close down the churches left and right while they're protesting by the thousands. That's no problem for them, but closing down the church, that is an awful and a dangerous thing. Our announcer, Matthew, will come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get the book and the DVD that we have been speaking about.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. I have to agree with Billy Crone. Our identity comes from Jesus Christ. It is like we forgot we're the blood-bought church. Our special offer today is the new 7-DVD set titled The Character of the Church. You can have your own set for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order on our website. Just go to swrc.com. And while you're online, stop by our Facebook page and let us know where you're from. Leave us a comment. We also have the book with the same title, The Character of the Church. You can have a copy of the book for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both the DVDs and the book for a gift of $45. Read the book and give it away. You still have the DVDs. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Christians are called to be salt and light in a decaying and ever-darkening world. Our church services, our worship or preaching, our styles and standards need to reflect the kingdom of God, not the culture of man.
A secular church is easy to spot. The pastor only preaches what is popular. The church shies away from anything controversial. Political issues are more often moral issues, but because an issue is considered political, it is avoided. A secular church is a timid church. It never speaks out. It never stands tall for truth and righteousness. It is silent over the murder of millions and millions of unborn human beings.
Yes, a secular church is one that espouses the values of the surrounding culture more than the teaching of Scripture. These are the churches that resemble a social club rather than a place of divine worship.
In a secular church, the congregation is hungry, hungry to be entertained rather than hungry to grow into a lifestyle of discipleship.
One of the glaring signs of a secular church is that Jesus Christ is presented simply as a personal Savior rather than Lord over every aspect of life. Secular humanism is often very evident in secular churches. Jesus is more of a personal buddy than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus exists according to the secular mindset simply to make us happy. Obedience and commitment is never even mentioned from the pulpit or in any of the church's activities.
In a secular church, there is fleshly greed and narcissism, instead of a willingness to give and to sacrifice. This is not the kind of church that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ.
A secular church is not willing to stand up against government overreach. The COVID-19 pandemic should be called the day of illegal government overreach, because that's what's been happening. Many churches are caving in to the unreasonable demands of secular governments and their violation of constitutional rights. The casinos in Nevada can stay open, but the churches need to cut down on the size of its attendance. Why? Because the governor says so.
Matt Staver, a Christian attorney and founder of Liberty Counsel, describes what is happening in the state of California. Quote, "All home-based small group Bible studies and private worship among friends and family are illegal for 80% of the California population. The same order that bans religious gatherings in private homes allows and even encourages the insane anarchist riots, blocking highways and destroying city blocks. In California, you can stand shoulder to shoulder with Marxists singing about killing cops, but you cannot worship with freedom in your own home. Don't let America's churches be driven underground." Close quotes.
Secular churches will let runaway government autocrats trample their constitutional rights. Spiritual churches will do what spiritual churches have always done, stand and fight. Secular churches are compromisers and call it love. Spiritual churches stand for truth because true Christian love loves the truth. What is your church? Is it a secular church? Or is it a spiritual church?
If your head seems to be ringing like a bell with all of the conflicting virus information dominating the media these days, let's add one more article that makes sense. Opinions stack high. Experts, so-called, are plentiful. And most of us have either stopped listening or are set in our own view. Posted on townhall.com August 3, 2020, Scott Moorfield presented what he called inconvenient data patterns. He said that when facing harsh restrictions on everyday life, the facts should match them. Consider noting Sweden, which did not go into lockdown and never mandated masks. Experts predicted, as he wrote, Sweden was supposed to be something like a scene out of the Book of Revelation by now, complete with rivers of blood and bodies piled up to the horses' bridles. Hospitals were going to be overrun. People were going to be dying in the streets. There was going to be carnage unlike nothing anyone had ever seen. Except none of that happened, not even close. Absent an early Cuomo-style failure of inadequately protecting nursing homes, early on that country's strategy was a tremendous success. Sweden implemented a few sustainable common-sense measures, and now they are reaping the rewards. Last week, Bloomberg reported the country's promising COVID-19 data as new cases plunge, declining cases since a late June peak and a death rate that has plunged right along with it. The curves are going down, and the curves for the serious ill are beginning to approach zero. Closer to home, South Dakota, where Republican Governor Kristi Noem steadfastly refused to shut down her state nor require masks, the infection and death rate in that admittedly less population-dense state has remained consistently low. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp was supposedly conducting an experiment in human sacrifice by reopening his state too soon and not mandating masks at the state level. Cases did rise, but they haven't spiked, nearly 2 months after their lockdown ended. But deaths are still below 4,000 statewide and are nowhere near any sort of drastic spike. Hospitalizations have peaked and are trending down. Compare Arizona, Florida, and Texas with 60 million people, no lockdowns, 23,000 peak hospitalizations, 500-ish peak deaths daily, to New York, 20 million people, hard lockdown, 18,000 peak hospitalizations, and 1,000 daily peak deaths. And then there's California, whose governor implemented a statewide mask mandate on June 18th. 2 weeks later, cases were three times what they were before the mandate, and they've continued to roll along around the 10,000 mark every day since. Globally, Brazil, India, and Mexico have all experienced significant spikes in case and death rates lately, despite early masking requirements on significant portions of their populations. So apparently, those who told us coronavirus would pretty much be eliminated if we would just wear a mask for a few weeks were either ignorant or lying or both. If masks work, why is the virus surging in places that implement and strictly enforce their use? Why are places that never masked doing fine? These data patterns don't suggest that COVID-19 isn't dangerous or deadly to some people, but they do suggest that viruses are pretty good at doing what they do, and there's not a lot that humans can do, especially through lockdowns or face coverings, to stop them. Like it or not, the likely only way out is going to be some form of herd immunity. Proverbs 3:7-8 say, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Oh, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
We say we're the church, but we don't act like it. We act like we don't have time to tell people about the gospel. If you'd like to be empowered, then don't forget our special offer. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144, and we'll get that right out to you. If you have a question or comment, or if you need prayer, just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And take time to visit us online at swrc.com. And please check out our Facebook page. You will love it.
When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, "I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching."
Thank you for being with us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Billy Crone continue this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.